Please stand either in body or in spirit for the call to worship. When the world divides us, when the world leads us astray, when the world calls us orphaned,
United Methodist Church this wonderful summer morning.
It is so good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. We invite you to find the attendance registration pad, which is at one end of your pew. If you would find that and give us your name and your contact information. We really appreciate being able to know who's here with worship with us on a Sunday morning, and also to be able to follow up with who is not here. Also, you should find a little prayer card. It should be tucked into the back of the pew that is in front of you. If you have a prayer concern or a praise or anything you'd like to share, go ahead and jot that down. A little bit later, you'll have an opportunity to either bring that forward during a time of prayer, or you can hold it up and one of our ushers will bring that forward for you.
Let's say our affirmation of faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose faith, holy faith, let us now declare. We believe in the one God,
creator and sustainer of all things, Father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love.
We believe in Jesus Christ,
God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the one holy church, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord, for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will, realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us pray. We incline our ears to the words of your mouth and will tell of your glorious deeds, O Lord. Your righteousness is like streams of goodness washing out soul. You purify the thoughts of our minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit and sanctify our actions by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We appear now before you as children renewed by your mercy to give you all praise in response to your grace. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from the book of Proverbs. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. For they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right. Well, good morning. We have a lot to be happy and proud about this morning. Today, first of all, we have a wonderful group visiting with us today, the CCYM group. Will you just stand up so we can see who you are? So you can sit back down now. So CCYM stands for Conference Committee or Council, Conference Council for Youth Ministry. And it is an organization that's been around for a long time in the Methodist Church. These are sort of the elite youth from all over the conference. And they meet a couple times a year and sponsor youth activities for the conference. And we are very, very happy. They have been meeting at First United Methodist Church the last couple of days, and we're very happy to have you all in worship this morning. They hosted an activity night Friday night with our youth, and understand it's a really good time. So thank you for being here. We thank God this morning and hold up our joy and our thanks to God for this wonderful meal that we're going to have this afternoon, the Cowboy Bell annual event, which has had an extremely good turnout this year. And so thanks for everyone that has supported that. But we thank God that this church has a ministry like that to serve the community. We thank, we hold up Katie Yates and her family and Lee Harvard and Pat Goodwin and so many others that have worked so hard for Cowboy Bell and for putting this occasion together tonight. By the way, and this is not necessarily a joy, but in case you don't know, it is oversold out. So if you don't have a ticket, it's kind of too late. So just know that, and thanks for everyone that did get your reservations in and get a ticket. Our concerns this morning, we have, Michaela, we've had you on our prayer list, and it's so good to see you here this morning, but we continue to pray for Michaela Roberts, for Carolyn Lovelace, especially for Martha Holloway, for Lisa Odie. We pray for all those who are sick, for those who are very, very busy and tired, who just need some rest. We pray for the leadership of our country. And at this time, you're invited to come forward during our time of prayer, and you have a prayer card in front of you. If you have filled that out, you can bring that forward and leave it on the altar or give it to an usher or put it in the collection plate as it comes by. Let us sing our hymn together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We come as your children to you, our Father in heaven. Because we believe in you, we are all family together. And because we are all family together, we have a very bright future together. So, Lord, we thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy. You're always there when we need you. You've never turned us away, and you've never failed us. You've never failed to live up to your promises to us. And in our troubles and trials, you've been right there with us, and you've helped us through. And so we give you thanks and praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We pray for the needs of our people today. We've all come with individual and very personal needs. Maybe nobody on earth knows about the struggles and the burdens that we face as individuals, but we know that you know, and you invite us to bring everything to you in prayer. And so we reach out to you, and we know that you're already reaching out to us. Help us to feel your assurance and that you're answering our prayers. We pray for the many different kinds of physical needs, the financial needs, those with emotional needs. Some need healing of relationships. Families need your presence and your intervention. Wherever they are, Lord, we bring them to you because we know that you can do something about them. We pray for our community and those that are all around us. We pray for our government. We pray for divine wisdom for them and their ability to lead justly and wisely. We pray for our president and those in national government. We pray for a revival of godliness and righteousness and holiness in this country, and for the forces of evil to be defeated all over the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, yes, not yet? Okay, our soloist this morning is also singing at the Presbyterian Church across the street, and she hasn't walked over yet. So we're going to go ahead and skip around the offering. We could go ahead and take an offering now and then take another offering when she comes. But I think what we'll do is we'll go right to the, if you will stand up and pass the peace of Christ, then we'll have the kids come up for the children's time. So will you stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another? Come on up, all you little children. This is great. Come on up here. All right, we may have to move the altar aside just to accommodate all of our little children that are up here today. But we're very, very happy to see. I see they're doing the old youth trick of coming up and pretending that you're children. And that's very cool. We like that. So good. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, if you all will turn around and kind of look at me, because I'm really kind of saying this to you. But so today, Pastor Tina is going to be talking about families. And so I want to talk a little bit about families with you. And what we're going to talk about is kind of what a family consists of. And there are different types of families. So how many of you have a family? Just raise your hand. Okay, almost everyone has a family. And sometimes they're different. Sometimes if we walk into, let's say if we're out in public with our family and we walk into a restaurant or if we're walking down the street or something, if somebody ran into us, they might not even know that we're a family because we might not look alike. So Beth, would you come up here? Okay, Beth is our daughter, me and Tina's daughter. She's actually my stepdaughter, but stand up here with me. Okay, now she has her high heels on today, but normally she's a little bit shorter. But if you saw Beth and I walk into a restaurant together, you might not know that we were related. And we're not really related by blood, but we are related because of sort of circumstance. So that's one of the ways. Beth is generally a little bit shorter than me and skinny at times. I, on the other hand, am much taller and also skinny. So, okay, you can go sit down. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Beth. So, thank you. So, but we are family, and so there are different types of family. Some of us are family by blood. Some of us are family by circumstances. Some of us are family by choice. And we choose our family. Pastor Tina is an example of family that I chose by choice. Okay. So that's what the scripture that the gospel reading today from Matthew addresses, Jesus talking about family. And, you know, he's going to say, here's a spoiler. Jesus is going to say, okay, well, just in an extreme paraphrase, that these folks over here that were his real family are, he's talking about his disciples as being his real family, the ones that believe in Jesus and have been through all of this with him. But, you know, the way that we read that, it should not be that Jesus diminished his own family in any way. Jesus loved his family, and it's an example of how, in what high esteem Jesus thought of family, as to go ahead and say that these disciples are like family to me because of what we believe together and what we have shared together. So as you listen to the pastor's sermon today, listen for that and know that no matter how many people that you live with or don't live with, you know, just one person living at home has a family. They may not be living in the house with them, but, you know, we're all family. And if our earthly family is not around or there's not as many as they used to be, then we fall back on we experience the fullness of the family of God, because that's what we are. We're the family of God. So, all right, let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the family that we are. We thank you for this part of the family, especially because they are the hope and the future of this country and this church. Lord, we thank you for the miracles that you do in people's lives, starting at sometimes a very early age. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, see y'all later, guys. Thanks. Okay. All righty. Okay, good. Thank you. Our solo has arrived. And so we can go ahead and take the offering. Would the ushers come forward to receive the morning offering? And let's pray together. Lord, we ask you to take this offering and multiply it and use us for the goodness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
to remain standing as we read our gospel message for today from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and brother and sister." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? O gracious God, I thank you for creating this beautiful day and for all of our church family to share it with. I ask now that the meditations of my heart and mind would be of value to your people and of great blessing to you, for it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. I can't not say thank you so much, Della. That was glorious. Thank you for being here today. And if you've noticed that John is not here with us this morning, he is over at Trinity First preaching as a substitute for Pastor Glenn, who's on vacation. So we have a great opportunity here of all of our interfaith and interdenominational Christians in town are sharing together, and I think that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. We're going to start a new sermon series. Hooray! I can feel the excitement in your hearts. With the start of a new school year right upon us, it's a good time to be focusing on kids and parents and grandparents and all those relationships that make up our lives. So welcome to Modern Family. Now, I'm not even going to attempt to define the word family as in kind of a dictionary definition, because the truth is that 21st century family structures, they just don't fit that old model of mom, dad, 2.3 kids and a dog that used to be portrayed back in the 1950s TV shows. Modern families come in all shapes and all sizes and are made up of any combination of a multitude of relationships. Just think for a moment about all the words that we use to describe the various roles that people play in our families. Parents, children, adult children, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, second cousins, twice removed, Uncle Mortimer's third wife's half-sister's mother-in-law. Families are made up of all kinds of people, any of whom may be married or single or divorced or widowed or adopted or blended or fostered. Some families have children, some families have none. Some families are large and complex in the layers of relationships of extended family members. Some families are very, very small. Some families are related by blood and genes and DNA. Some families are related by a different kind of bond, as Jesus was talking about in the scripture that we read this morning. This church is a family. The one constant is that every family includes people, and sometimes some of the people in our family are a little bit hard to understand. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So we're going to spend the next few weeks considering the families that God has given us and how to go about being a member of a family with a godly focus. Today we're going to start with the basics. Meet the family. Now, it has been said that we don't get to choose our family, but we do get to choose how to be a part of the family we are in. I mean, think about it. At some time, you get to choose how to be me in my family, right? Now consider your own family. At some time in the entire history of your family, have there ever been two or more family members who were at odds with one another? Ever? Has there ever been a disagreement? A difference of opinion? Has one person said or done something that another person did not appreciate? Have you ever felt annoyed by a person in your family? If your answer is no, you are in denial and you need to hear a whole different sermon series. But all of us who are willing to admit, yeah, there was that one time when that one person did that one thing that I didn't quite get, then I invite you to just take a moment to consider the people in your family, whether it's your blood family or your church family or your work family or your school family or your neighborhood family, whatever kind of family you want to be thinking about this morning. God made each one of us. And for some reason, God made each one of us a little different from everybody else. On purpose. God made us different. Now, for those of you who are on church staff, and for several of our church leadership, some of this is going to sound pretty familiar. You can go get a second donut now if you want to, but just imagine for a moment. In fact, you don't even have to imagine. I need my helpers to come up. I have four designated helpers this morning who know what they're going to be doing. Come, designated helpers. And each of them is going to take, you're thoughtful, right? A little piece of paper, and I know, which one are you? Questioning, accepting, and active. Yeah, back in your spot. So go over to your spot. They're going to help be our visual aids. I know you can't see what's on their little pieces of paper, but you can see where they are in the room. And there will be stuff on the screen that will help you for a moment. Now, just pay attention to this idea. Here at the front of the room, we have Julie. And Julie has a piece of paper that says, active. Think of active as being fast-paced, assertive, dynamic, bold. Contrast that with Calvin on the other end of the room, in the back of the room. He has a sign that says thoughtful. Think of thoughtful as being moderate-paced, calm, methodical, and careful. You don't really have to do this, but this is like a activity. In our virtual activity, you get to choose whether you belong up here with Julie under the word active, or whether you belong at the back of the room with Calvin, who is beautifully displaying the word thoughtful. You could be Vanna White, Calvin, good job. And you don't get to be in the middle. If you're thinking, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not, you have to pick one or the other. Where would you go stand in the room? Would you be in the thoughtful camp, or would you be in the active camp? Okay, mentally go there. Envision yourself. You're either standing here with Julie, being thoughtful, or being active, fast-paced, assertive, dynamic, or bold, or you're with Calvin, being thoughtful, moderate-paced, calm, methodical, and careful. Okay, are you there in your brain? Are you there? Okay. And not one is better than the other or worse than the other. They just are what they are. Okay. Now, you can rest your arms for a moment. Okay. Now, you're going to choose between Sophia. Wait, I'll see who comes up next. Oops, wait. Sorry, we'll get to you in a minute. You're going to choose between Kayla, who on this side of the world, on the room, has a sign that says questioning. Think of questioning as being logic-focused, objective, skeptical, and challenging. Or compare that with Sophia, who has a sign that says accepting. Think of that as people-focused, empathizing, receptive, and agreeable. Neither one is good nor bad. They just are what they are. Where would you go stand? Would you be over here with Kayla, questioning, logic, objective, skeptical, challenging, or would you go over here with Sophia, accepting, people focused? In your brain, go there, walk over, choose one. Which, are you there? Are you at your spot? Okay, now we're gonna put it all together. Huh, I wonder why that's a different color. It's not really supposed to be, but that's okay. Okay, if you chose, you've chosen one from between active and thoughtful, and you've chosen one from between questioning and accepting. Now, in your mind's eye, go to the corner of the room, which is between the two words that you have chosen. So if you chose questioning and active, hold up your active, then you would be over here in this corner. This would be your space. Are you with me here? All right, over in that corner, you would be between active and accepting. Back in this corner, you'd be between accepting and thoughtful. In that corner, you would be between thoughtful and questioning. Okay, are you there? You with me? You kind of know where you're going to be in the room. And again, it's not like you might be thinking, well, I kind of want to be here, but I kind of want to be here. Just pick one. Just get over it and pick one. All right? So thank you, helpers. Thank you, helpers, for you did a good job. You may go and sit down. We have put everybody in their corner. Okay. In your brain, stay in your little corner for a minute. Okay? Throughout the past year, Pastor Laird and I have been taking an ongoing class called Creating a Culture of Renewal. It's taught by a lady named Rebecca Simon Peter. She's a Methodist ordained elder. She lives up in Wyoming, but she travels all over the country to do these workshops and classes with people. The purpose of our studies is to help us understand ourselves and how we function in the world, and how to understand the people who we minister to and minister with. Because we want to be able to recognize the value in all of us and the differences in each of us, and how that works together and how we can work together better. Remember how Jesus said to love your neighbor? Well, has your neighbor ever been kind of a pill? Right? It makes it kind of tricky. But this information that we have been studying, and other clergy from across our conference in the New Mexico Conference have been studying, it's all based on something called the DISC, D-I-S-C, Personality Inventory. This is a picture of it. And based on the DISC model of understanding personalities, if you think that you would land in this corner between questioning and active, you fall in the D part of the pie. And if you thought that you would end up over here between active and accepting, you would end up in the I part of the pie, and you get how it works. Then there's an S and there's a C. Now, according to the DISC personality profile, if you felt that you landed up here in between questioning and active, then you land in that category that's D, and the little word under it that you might not be able to read is dominance. People with a dominance style tend to be fast movers. They're quick thinkers who like to take immediate action. Ds are often described as strong-willed, result-oriented, direct. Ds don't mess around with triviality. They want to move forward and get it done. Ds are the pioneers of the world. They're risk takers. They're winners. They're motivated by success. They don't like being taken advantage of. And sometimes, because they like to move forward quickly, they can be a little tiny bit impatient. Now, if you think that you would land in the upper right-hand corner, in between active and accepting, then you landed in the I piece of the pie. I stands for the word influence. People with this personality style tend to be people. They also like to move fast, but they want all their friends to come along. Is tend to be the life of the party. They want to make sure that everybody's having a lot of fun. Eyes are outgoing and cheerful, positive, high energy, talkative, charming, and enthusiastic. Eyes are motivated by group activities. They do not like to be ignored. And sometimes they can be just a tad bit disorganized. If you think that you would land in the lower right-hand corner in between accepting and thoughtful, then you might have a personality category in a category called S, which stands for steadiness. People with this personality style tend to be more thoughtful. They like to take time to think and consider how this is going to affect everybody else. S's tend to be gentle and calm and peaceful and even-tempered because they move at a slower pace. They tend to be more patient and accommodating. S's are very concerned about the people around them. They are team players, good listeners, humble and affirming. S's are motivated by stable environment and cooperation. They do not like discord and instability. And S's sometimes have a tendency to be just a little bit indecisive. Now, if you think that you would land in the lower left-hand corner between thoughtful and questioning, you might have a personality type that falls in a category called conscientiousness. C is for conscientiousness. People with this personality style tend to be rather analytical. They may be private people. They strive for excellence and precision. They are humble. When you want something done right, you want to call a C. C's take their time. They make sure the details are all covered. They create a plan and think their way through that plan. They're motivated by opportunities to use their expertise and attention to quality. They do not like slipshod methods or making mistakes. And sometimes they can have a tendency to just a little bit overanalyze. Now, according to the DISC personality profile, everybody in the world falls primarily into one of these four categories. And everybody in the world has a little bit of all four of these categories. You may see yourself strongly relating to one of these personality types, or you may feel like you're a little bit of all of them. They're all equal in value. Not one is better than another or worse than another. We all have elements of all four styles. We need all four styles to function in the world. And in fact, the population is divided quite equally between the four personality types. You want to guess what Pastor Laird is? Pastor Laird is a D. He's the strong, dominant type. You want to guess what I am? I'm an S. Now think about that. On the DISC thing, On the DISC profile, we're in opposite corners. Imagine the implications of this when we're working together and living together. What do you suppose happens when the D is ready to move forward with a new exciting idea and the S says, now just wait a minute, we have to figure out how everybody feels about this? Think about when something needs to get done and the S keeps saying, well, I just haven't decided what to do. I drive the D crazy, right? Do you know it is a statistical fact that in most mainline churches, that's what we are, Methodists are a mainline denominational church, in most mainline churches, we are made up primarily of C's and S's. The D's and the I's, for the most part, have moved on because they can't stand how long it takes to get something done in a committee. And think about it. Think about it. It's not unusual, however, for a person who is in one of those styles to have some unexpected traits that show up from another style. I am a very strong S, but my unexpected characteristics show up in the D quadrant. If we're in a group of people and nobody takes charge, I'll just jump right in there. I have a snippet of I that makes me able to stand up and talk to a room full of people. So, of course, the question is, who cares? Why do we even care about this? Well, because once we begin to understand what it is that makes us tick, we begin to look at each other differently. The people who do things that make us crazy are not bad people, but they very well may have a different personality type than me or you. Once we start to realize this, we can learn to appreciate where the other person's coming from. That C is not going on and on about minute details because he's trying to annoy me. It's how he's wired. The I does not mean to talk the ear off of the C. It's how he's wired. The D does not mean to push the S out of her comfort zone. The S is not trying to hold the D back from doing something new and innovative. This is how God made us. Together, we all balance each other out. Alone, we lack the strengths that come from the other quadrants. Now think about your own family. Think about the people you work with. What are the characteristics that annoy you? What are the characteristics that delight you? Who do you love to be around because you kind of think the same way and you speak the same language? Who do you not love to be around so much because you always seem to kind of be butting heads because you come at things from different perspectives? It may be your personality types, which God gave you. God created you just exactly the way that he wants you to be. God created the person in the opposite quadrant on the circle exactly the way that he wanted that person to be. Every style has its strengths. Every style has its limitations. It takes forever for me to go buy groceries because I'm going to stand in the cereal aisle all day not being able to decide which one to pick out. I'm an S, don't rush me, which is okay, to a point. Now think about this. What do you think Jesus was? What do you think Jesus was? Scripture's full of examples of Jesus acting in all four quadrants. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and he turned over the tables of the money changers? That is a D action. Bold and direct. We're not waiting around. We're going to do the right thing and get right in there. Remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? Okay, that is an I move. We are going to keep this party going. Remember how Jesus spent 3 years training his disciples and gave them specific instructions and sent them out in twos in ministry? That's a very well thought out plan. That's much like a C-type personality would follow. Remember when Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not keep them away"? That is a very S thing to do, to make sure that everyone is included. But perhaps even more important than what personality type Jesus was is this. Jesus knew how to relate to people of other personality types. He accepted people right where they were. He related to them in a way that made them feel loved and accepted. He knew what people needed, and he was able to speak to them in a way that met their needs. This is what we need to be able to do in our families. As parents raising children, as children caring for parents, as individuals interacting with the neighbors, I am now using the DISC inventory with all couples who come to me for premarital counseling before I do a wedding. When my son and his fiance were preparing to get married, remember we went up and did their wedding on April 1st, I had them go through the DISC inventory, and we had several phone conversations going through their results and just thinking about what are the implications of these personality types going to have on your relationship for the rest of your lives. Now, how do you know your style? Well, the exercise that we did at the beginning is a good starting place, but if you really, really want to know more, you can take the DISC personality profile. At this time, over 20 people from this congregation have already taken a DISC assessment. They did that in relationship to Laird and I in this class that we have been working on all year. It was part of our homework, was to get a bunch of our church members to do this. And in October, over a Friday night on October 6th and 7th, a large group of our leadership who've taken the inventory, the personality inventory, are going to go up to Sacramento Methodist Assembly, and we're going to spend some time looking at those profiles, understanding ourselves, and working on how better to work with one another as we move this church forward. It's going to be an overnight retreat, and hopefully then we'll be able to apply this knowledge as we work together as a church. Laird and I are going to be leading this retreat. If this intrigues you, if you want to know a little more about this, I invite you to take the inventory. I will tell you, it does cost $60. You go online and We have access to the people who do this, and they do charge for it. But the information that we get back from this is pretty amazing. When Laird and I both got our profiles back, and by the way, for those of you who are into this stuff, on the Myers-Briggs, we are the same person. On the DISC, on the DISC, we're in opposite corners. And we looked at the results, and we looked at each other and said, oh my goodness, this explains a lot. The information that we get back from this is very, very amazing and very applicable. We do have room for a few more people to attend the retreat at Sacramento. You have to pay for your lodging. But honestly, if a large number of our church family are interested in doing this, we can schedule another retreat right here in town. I've been trained how to teach this class, and the only reason that I've gone through this training is so that this church can benefit from us being able to understand one another better. Is this the definitive way to understand people? Of course not. But this is one more very significant tool that we can use as we grow into the future ministry that God has planned for us. God made you. God made all the people in your family, and He made you just the way that He wants all of you to be. Celebrate who you are, and learn how to celebrate that other person who works a little bit differently. Because together, we are the church of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that we cannot do together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We invite you to stand together as we join in our closing hymn. And if God has been nudging you and encouraging you to take a step of faith that will help you to receive Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn. If you want to place your membership in this church, not the CCYM, your pastors will be very upset if you all go home and say, we all joined Roswell. We'd think it was cool. But if you would like to join this church, there is no better church family for you to continue growing and exploring your faith and your relationship with God and one another. But let us join together now as we sing our closing hymn.
Who is
Now receive this blessing and benediction. Go forth that you are exactly the person God wants you to be. Claim it and know that you are empowered by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.